Farnsworth, brother and sister, E.W. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, January 28, 1903. Dear brother and sister Farnsworth, I have just been reading the 9th chapter of Matthew. If our churches could but understand the wonderful things there related, what a history of experience would be opened before us. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier, to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Verses 2-8. All this Jesus did while standing at the head of the human race, his divinity clothed with humanity. We look back at the preceding chapter and see how wonderfully he wrought. After stilling the water, he went into the country of the Gergesenes, and there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Matthew 8, verse 28. Satan drove these insane men into Christ's presence. But as they met the Savior, they found that they were bound with something stronger than the chains that they had broken, and they cried out, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Verse 29. At the name of Christ, even the devils believe and tremble. They acknowledge that he is the Son of God, and yet they are devils still, and how greatly this increases their condemnation. And there was a good way off from them, an herd of swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and, behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Verses 30-32. Then the keepers of the swine went into the city and told the people what Jesus had done, how he had cast the evil spirits out of the men, and how these spirits had entered into the swine, causing the loss of the entire herd. Satan was working against Christ through these men, making the people believe that he had destroyed their property. The whole city came out to meet Jesus, but instead of welcoming him to their homes, instead of bringing their sick to be healed by him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Verse 34. Their covetousness made them wish to get rid of him. And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city. Matthew 9, verse 1. He took the people at their word. Never does he force his presence on anyone. The Gergesenes desired Christ to depart. They of Capernaum received him, and among them he wrought wonderful miracles. Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. He is the great physician, upon whom we are to call when suffering from physical or spiritual disease. Over the winds and the waves, and over men possessed with demons, he showed that he possessed absolute control. To him have been given the keys of death and of hell. Principalities and powers were made subject to him, even while in his humiliation. Paul writes, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 23.
Why do we not exercise greater faith in the divine physician? As He worked for the man with the palsy, so He will work today for those who come to Him for healing. We have great need of more faith. I am alarmed as I see the lack of faith among our people. We need to come right into the presence of Christ, believing that He will heal our physical and spiritual infirmities. We are too faithless. Oh, how I wish that I could lead our people to have faith in God. They need not feel that, in order to exercise faith, they must be wrought up into a high state of excitement. All they have to do is to believe God's word, just as they believe on another's word. He hath said it, and He will perform His word. Calmly rely on His promise, because He means all that He says. Say, He has spoken to me in His word, and He will fulfill every promise that He has made. Do not become restless. Be trustful. God's word is true. Act as if your Heavenly Father could be trusted. This morning I have been reading of your success in Adelaide. Praise the Lord. Keep the work progressing. I am so glad that the church in Adelaide has been given an opportunity to recover from the terrible work done there by the enemy, which caused so much division and strife. As a church, we have received great light. This light the Lord has entrusted to us for the benefit and blessing of the world. To us has been given the ministry of reconciliation. With power from on high, we are to beseech men to be reconciled to God. We are encouraged to pray for success, with the divine assurance that our prayers will be heard and answered. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 19, 20. Ask of me, and I will answer your requests. The promise is made on condition that the united prayers of the church are offered, and in answer to these prayers there may be expected a power greater than that which comes in answer to private prayer. The power given will be proportionate to the unity of the members and their love for God and for one another. Men are appointed to proclaim the truth in new places. These men must have funds for their support, and they must have a fund to draw upon for the help of the poor and needy whom they meet in their work. The benevolence that they show toward the poor gives influence to their efforts to proclaim the truth. Their willingness to help those in need gains for them the gratitude of those they help and the approval of heaven. These faithful workers should have the sympathies of the church. The Lord will hear prayer in their behalf, and the church should not fail to show a practical interest in their work. No one lives to himself. In God's work, each one is assigned a post of duty. The union of all strengthens the work of each. As the faith and love and unity of the church grow stronger, their circle of influence enlarges, and ever they are to reach to the farthest limit of this influence, constantly extending the triumphs of the cross.
God calls upon us to burst the bands of our precise indoor service. The message of the gospel is to be born in the cities and outside of the cities. We are to call upon all to rally round the banner of the cross. When this work is done as it should be, when we labor with divine zeal to add converts to the truth, the world will see that a power attends the message of truth. The unity of the believers bears testimony to the power of the truth that can bring into perfect harmony men of different dispositions, making their interests one. The prayers and offerings of the believers are combined with earnest, self-sacrificing efforts, and they are indeed a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. Men are converted anew. The hand that once grasped for recompense in higher wages has become the helping hand of God. The believers are united by one interest, the desire to make centers of truth where God shall be exalted. Christ joins them together in holy bonds of union and love, bonds which have irresistible power. It was for this unity that Jesus prayed just before his trial, standing but a step from the cross. "That they all may be one," he said, "as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." John 17, verse 21.
God calls upon those who are half awake to arouse and engage in earnest labor, praying to him for strength for service. Workers are needed. It is not necessary to follow rules of exact precision. Receive the Holy Spirit, and your efforts will be successful. Christ's presence is that which gives power. Let all dissension and strife cease. Let love and unity prevail. Let all move under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If God's people will give themselves wholly to him, he will restore to them the power they have lost by division. May God help us all to realize that disunion is weakness, and that union is strength. This is the message God has given me for the churches. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 3, verse 18 to 22.